Thank you, Brian, for leading us in worship. And thank you for letting me have a little bit of fun at your expense this morning. If you came in a few minutes late after the worship service had already started, I will tell you, as a prelude this morning, I played a recording from 1998 with the Voice of Triumph from Kentucky Mountain Bible College featuring Brian Schubert as a soloist in one of the numbers. So we had a good time listening to that.
Yeah, no. Just some wonderful spirit came, kind of glory. It's incredible.
See the lights dimming. Yeah, I saw that. Well, fellas, I've always heard that. No grass grows on a busy street. Yes, sir. No grass grows on a busy street, I've heard. I've heard that the older you get, the deeper your roots grow into your head. And if the roots grow so deep that they hit gray matter, your hair turns gray. And if they hit nothing at all, they just turn loose. Yeah, there are only few perfect heads. The rest of them the Lord put hair on, I remember. Okay. Well, great to see you. Great to have some fun together. And aren't you excited that these guys were able to shave their heads? We made the goal. Wow. Point of reference, 4 years ago when I was here, we were rejoicing that we had registered campers in the number of, you want to hear it? 2008, you know what the number was?
Yes.
150 registered campers.
Right.
Yeah. I remember. And now we have 250. Somebody say hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, we had session one yesterday dealing with tattooing, and we're in a series of emphasis that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to live in our bodies. But we remind ourselves and we remind God that our bodies don't belong to us. And so when we were dealing Monday, we dealt with our bodies don't belong to us and God's calling us to sexual purity. And then Tuesday, we dealt with the theme of sobriety and drunkenness. And yesterday, we dealt with the thought of tattooing. And I want to build on that just a little bit more with a special emphasis. If we're not to mark our bodies with tattoos, how does God want to mark us? And I want to build that just a little bit this morning. Then tonight, the Lord being my helper, I've got a message about full surrender and abandonment to Jesus Christ. And I want you to come back tonight ready to hear that message and really praying that God would speak to adults and young people alike, because there's going to be something in this message, if this is the way God continues to lead me, as best as I understand it, there's going to be something in it for everybody. And I really deeply appreciate the way the adults have been so obedient to the Spirit. It's been exciting. Okay? And you guys do too, don't you?
Yep.
Gives a good example for your young folks to follow. So our key verse for the morning sessions this week, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Our bodies belong to God. So how does God want to mark us? Well, in the Old Testament, the Bible reminds us that God marked the Hebrew men with circumcision. On the eighth day of a little boy's life, he was taken to temple and the priest circumcised the baby boy. And it was a mark forever in his body that he was a Hebrew. He was ethnic Hebrew. The Bible tells us how that covenant was established with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And Abraham passed it on to the Hebrew people. Genesis 17:10, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. But circumcision was not just a physical mark. It was to surpass that, and it was a spiritual mark. And it was to be prophetic of an inner spiritual reality that would surpass the physical reality of circumcision. All the way back in the law in Deuteronomy, we see this foreshadowing begin. Deuteronomy 10:16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Deuteronomy 36, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. So she, in a relatively close proximity of time and space from when God gave to Abraham the covenant of circumcision, physical circumcision for male Hebrews, in a relatively close proximity of time and space, we quickly learn in Scripture that circumcision meant more than a physical mark. It was intended to be representative of an inner spiritual mark and spiritual transformation. So the question God is asking us, and I want to kind of probe this morning, is this. May I ask you a personal question? Has God circumcised your heart by faith? More on that as we develop the thought. In Jeremiah 4:4, the command was, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Take away that which is tough and resistant to the precious Holy Spirit of God so you can be tender and vulnerable before God. You know, God wants to touch the tenderest, most intimate, most vulnerable part of the inside of you. What's that tenderest, most intimate part of you deep down inside the core of your being? It may be how you define yourself. It may be your own identity, your own self-image. But God wants to touch you right there and mark you as His. We call that the circumcision of the heart. Now we're going to come up with some other words for it as we build this lesson this morning. In Colossians 2:11, the Bible tells us, in Jesus also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is not a mark in the body. This is not like the 8-day-old baby boy going to temple and receiving the mark in his flesh. This is something God does without hands inside us. At the tenderest, most intimate core of your personhood and mine. This is the circumcision of the heart. Now the Bible teaches us that God marks the saints, and we see this mark throughout Scripture. I referenced this passage yesterday, and I return to it today from Ezekiel 9. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub in the temple, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink on at his side, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Those who are God-serving, those who pray, those who anguish before God for people to be saved, mark them, because they're really the spiritually minded one. To the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill all those who didn't have the mark of God on them. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old men and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they begin with the elders who are before the temple. You see, God wants to mark his people. Now there's another mark that we find throughout the Scripture, and that's a seal. You can see that wax seal, and you see the dove symbol within the seal. And throughout Scripture, we understand in Christian symbolism that the dove represents the Holy Spirit. The seal of the Spirit. Now, in ancient times, the practices were when a formal document was signed and completed, that formal document would then be sealed. Today, sometimes we use seals that are like stamps. You've seen those done at the courthouse or at a notary public. This was the old-fashioned version of that. And the seal would be taken, and it was done with wax. The hot wax was poured onto the crease or to the fold of the letter so that when it was opened, that seal had to be broken. And so the letter was folded over, and then the seal placed on there. And once the wax was on there and was still molten and hot, then a signet ring was taken, and that signet ring was placed down into the wax, and it forever marked it. And the Bible gives us that word picture, that metaphor, that's yet another metaphor of how God wants to mark us. He wants to mark us with the seal of His Holy Spirit. Look what the Bible says. God marks the saints with the Spirit. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. We are sealed when He knows who we are and that we belong to Him wholeheartedly. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. That means there's more to come in eternity. And that down payment in our hearts of the Spirit is the fullness of the Holy Spirit to indwell and sanctify our hearts. The seal of the Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Walk and live in the Spirit who indwells and fills and sanctifies your heart by faith. Here's yet another metaphor of how God wants to mark us. We've had three actually so far this morning. We've had the mark of the circumcision of the heart. We've had the mark in Ezekiel where God's name was written upon the foreheads of the faithful, those who sigh and cry and pray and agonize before God. Then we've had the seal of the Spirit, which is the third metaphor of how God wants to mark us. Now here's the fourth. God wants to write His law upon our hearts. God wants to mark us. That's exciting to me. God writes His law in our hearts. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. God wants to write His law on our hearts. Proverbs 7:3, bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law in their inward parts. I love this. And I will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so God is saying He wants to get us past this regulatory law that we have to read all the rules and boom, 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 boom. Oh, if I don't do that, judgment from God. He wants to do something better than that. He wants to write His law of love on our hearts. So that there's an inner motivation that wants nothing more than to love and serve and please Him. You see, He wants to mark us. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Satan has all kinds of marks he wants to put on us. But God wants to mark us in the depths of our hearts so that we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. God wants to mark us.
Amen.
Now, God's mark on the saints is yet another mark. I love this in the Revelation. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write on him, the overcomer, the name of my God. And the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Wow! If you're an overcomer for Christ, he says, I want to write a brand new name on you, my name. My name. Glory to God. And you know, this world will put all kinds of marks on us. This world will put all kinds of labels on us. You've had some hateful labels that people have used at you, names they've called you. And sometimes you've probably used some hateful labels and labeled on other people. Sometimes we call people freaks and jerks, and then we use racial epithets, and then we use degrading terms about their sexual orientation and just awful, hateful things, ugly names. Are you with me? And some of you bear those ugly names that other people have given you, and you know the brokenness that hits right in the core of your personhood. You know how that feels, way down deep inside in the most intimate, secret, hidden part of you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Yep.
And God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to use a divine eraser and I'm going to erase all that garbage off you and I'm going to write a new name on you. God wants to mark us. Wow! Isn't that exciting? He wants to mark us as his own people. In Revelation chapter 9, we see this theme continue as we see, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit, then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth. Plagues. And to them was given powers. The scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. You see, God wants to mark his own people as his own. In Revelation 14, then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, that's Jesus, and with him 144,000, these were the Jews who had come out of great tribulation and were faithful, and they had his father's name, the lamb's father's name, written on their foreheads. Who's the lamb's father? God the Father Almighty. Jesus is the lamb. God the Father Almighty is the lamb's father. And they had the name of God the Father written on their foreheads. God wants to mark us. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. In heaven at last, the curse of sin will be gone. Glory to God. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. God wants to mark us. Isn't that exciting? He wants to mark us. Some people say, well, my tattoo is a witness tattoo. It's of the cross, or it's the name of Jesus, or it's the face of Jesus, or my tattoo is a witness tattoo. And you know what I say? That's not your job to put it on you. Exactly. It's Jesus' job to put that on you. Yep. And he's not ready to do it yet. But he will.
Yep.
He's going to mark you with his name.
Yep.
Don't get ahead of him. Don't get ahead of God. He wants to mark us as his own. Glory to God. Oh, that excites me. Now, some connections from Scripture. We talked yesterday how the Hebrews in Leviticus 19 were prohibited from pagan marking, tattooing, and cutting. But they were commanded some marks. They were commanded the mark of circumcision for the males. They were promised the mark of God's name for the faithful. The Hebrews were to experience God's writing of His law upon their hearts as commanded throughout the Old Testament. What about marks for Christians? Well, we Christians are commanded not to get the mark of the beast. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation that it involves the mark of a man, the number of a man, 666. Guys, I don't know if that's going to be a chip put under people's skin. I don't know if it's going to be a tattoo or something we haven't even heard of yet. I don't know. But we dare not get it, or we will be eternally damned. And I caution you, my concern about tattooing, as I mentioned yesterday, and there's some folks here today who weren't here yesterday, my concern about tattooing is that I believe that it's Satan's tool in our culture and in our world that's preparatory to soften us up and make us think when the mark of the beast comes along, no biggie. I got those already. And we all know once you get one, you have to get another one. They're addictive, aren't they? Somebody told me last night, yesterday, they said, man, they said, I got one and I had to get another and I ended up with four or so. And what's body marking for Christians? There's a prohibition of the mark of the beast. The Christians were commanded the circumcision of the heart. And you know what that's a symbol of? That means that God touches the most intimate core of who we are, and we give that most intimate part of ourselves. Where we have our dreams, and our ambitions, and our longings, and our goals. and our desires. And he wants to touch that most intimate part of us and say, give yourself completely to me. Now, this is an invitation he only gives to people who know Jesus as born-again children of God. He calls us to touch that most intimate part of ourselves, and then he asks us to abandon our all to his lordship. And when we do, he accepts our gift. And the Bible says he circumcises our hearts by faith, and we use another word for that. We call it entire sanctification. Have you ever heard that word at church? Nod like this. It's the right answer. So the Christians were commanded this circumcision of the heart, which was being sanctified wholly. The Christians were promised the mark of Christ, which yet is another indicator of his ownership, a full surrender that we belong to him and have been sanctified. The Christians were promised the mark of the seal of the Spirit, a down payment, an earnest of our inheritance, and the full inheritance is going to come in heaven. But the down payment is that we can be filled with the Spirit and God's sanctifying power here on earth. You see, God wants to mark us. So here's just the simple truth. Your body belongs to God. It's not your job to mark it. It's His. Body marking and cutting are often occult. They often allow demonic, they often include demonic practices, just as in the video I showed you yesterday. Tattoos often contain occult symbols. Occult symbols, fetishes, practices have always been idolatrous and are condemned by the church throughout all of God's Word and throughout church history. When Christians get saved, the occult is abandoned. The witchcraft is abandoned. Whether it's what do they call it, white Wicca or black Wicca or whatever it is, whether it's of any mild degree or if it's hardcore stuff, it has to be abandoned if we're going to serve Jesus. The two are not compatible. In Ephesus, when people began finding Jesus and were gloriously saved, they brought in millions of dollars worth of fetishes and occult books and witchcraft spells. And you know what they did with them? They burned them. They destroyed them. And often, body marking involves occult symbols that grieve Jesus. Tattooing is often immodest. I had a friend, his name was Don. He was in Bible college with you. You remember Don. And Don had lived a life as a biker and kind of a wild man, and he had tattoos all over him. He died a premature death in his 50s from some strange illness. He always thought it was related to some chemicals he was sprayed with when he was in Vietnam in the military. And it very well may have been. But he died an untimely and premature death. But Don had symbols all over his body. He had on this elbow, I still remember that spider web. You remember that? I mean, it's a great big thing. And he had them everywhere. And he told me, he said, Dr. John, when I'm angry, I do what I call, in biker language, flying my colors. He said, I fly my colors. And he said, I just show as much of it as I can. And that's about just showing how mad I am. But I see people with tattoos in some embarrassingly private places on their bodies, and they wear clothes that are designed to show it, and I'm embarrassed for them. How about y'all? Don't show me that. That's not for me. No, please. That's your secret. I don't want to know that. Don't tell me that. You ever feel that way? Come on. Well, why do we show off the private areas of our body where we have ink on them? Why do we do that? It's a spirit of immodesty. It's a spirit that says, look at me. I'm wild. I'm out there. I'm bizarre. Notice me. I'm all that and a bag of chips. Are you with me? Come on. I know that's an old expression, but you got it. Tattooing is often immodest. It's often about showing off something that ought to be covered and kept as a secret. The popularity of tattooing, as I've already said, may be Satan's preparatory attempt to soften us up to receive his mark. And it may become the ultimate betrayal of Jesus if it involves the mark of the beast. Now, I want Nick to come up and share just a little story with you that I like the way he tells it, and so he's going to share it. Come on, buddy. And it's a story about this car. That's Nathan and Melissa on their first date in his mommy's little sports car. You wouldn't believe my wife likes sports cars, would you? She's just too quiet and meek. She's crazy, though, and I like her for it.
Man, Dr. John, that's a nice little blue Mercedes convertible right there that you and your wife has got.
It's a fun ride.
Yeah. I got a question. Like, how long did you have to work and save up to get it?
Oh, I saved a long time. I got a good deal on it. My son-in-law, Peter, helped me buy it. And I got a good deal. I got it for half of what you got in your minivan.
Nice. Well, I tell you what, that's a nice car. Let's say one day that I wanna take that for a spin. And I mean, imagine, can you see me in this nice blue convertible that's laid on the top and hop in it and take it down the road?
I don't know about that, Nick.
Yeah.
You promise you'll take good care of it?
I'll take good care of it.
Are you taking Lauren on a date in it?
Yeah, I'll take her for a date. I'll take her for a date in it.
I like her, but I don't know if I like her that much.
it'd make a good impression, you know. It'd make a good impression about me, you know, with her and this nice little blue car. And
well, I'll tell you what. If you promise to take good care of it and bring it back in just primo condition,
okay,
I'll let you borrow it.
Okay. Wait just a second. So if I was to take your car that you worked for, that you bought, and I was to bring it back, and I used to do tattoos, you know. I bought two tattoo guns at one point in time, and I did a lot of...
Where are you going with this?
Well, I mean, if I was to just kind of take it out, and, you know, after the date or whatever, you know, what if I just kind of got my keys and climbed up on your hood, you know, and maybe... What if I drew a pretty image of Jesus? You know, like Jesus had...
Whoa, that's not your car.
Well, no, I know it's not my car, but it's still a pretty image. You know, it needs some decoration, or I feel like it does, you know.
That's not your decision makes, huh?
Well, what about maybe I'll put some drills and drill some holes in it or something. You know, it's just decoration, right? I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's...
Why would you do that?
Well, because, I don't know, like I said, I used to do tattoos. I got this huge urge in me to tattoo it up, make it look pretty, you know. Take some keys and run it down, you know. It's permanent, I know that, but, like, you would enjoy it, right? As long as it was just a witnessing thing, like, you know. All right, John 3:16, right down this ladder, right there. For God so loved the world. And all kinds of people, everywhere you went, man, when people saw this pretty royal blue Mercedes Benz, they could see it right down the side. For God so loved the world.
You're crazy, boy. That's not your car.
I know. And what was it our scripture was?
Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
And we aren't our own. We've been bought with a price. What was that price?
The blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary.
Jesus paid the price. For my car. For my body. And so if I was to go and I was to permanently alter my body like that, what would you do if I brought your car back with Jesus?
I'd call the law on you.
What's it called? What's it called when you do that? Somebody else's car? Vandalism? So I wonder what Jesus would say to me when I stand before him and I vandalize his car.
A bad boy.
Bad boy. A bad boy. So that gives us something to think about.
God help
us. Our bodies isn't our own. They're not our own. We can't just take and do with them as we please. And this is more than just decoration. This is a permanent body alteration. It's not something you can take back. You can get laser surgery, you can get dermabrasion, you can get scarification, but all these things still leave a scar. It's permanently altering our bodies, and God's saying, look, you're my Lamborghini, you're my Mercedes-Benz. You're that precious to me, and I bought you. I spent 3 years, I worked for 3 years, And I gave it all. I paid everything that I could. I paid everything that I've invested my whole life in. I paid that for you. And I don't want you keying in my hood.
Amen. Give me a hand. But you see, the incredible thing is that God wants to mark us. Jesus wants to mark us as His own. He wants to circumcise our hearts by faith. He wants to place the seal of the Spirit upon us. He wants to write His law upon our hearts. He wants to write His name upon us. And each of these marks is a word picture for a clean, sanctified heart. Every one of these marks. Hi, Miss Annelle, I just saw you, hon. She likes everything I preach when I put it on Facebook. Everything. Each of these marks is a picture of a clean, sanctified heart. So here's my question for you this morning. Do you know that you've confessed, repented, forsaken of your sins, and asked Jesus to be your Savior? If you know that, then you're a candidate to ask God to do these very things in your heart. And it's all one thing. It's His grace of sanctifying our hearts through the fullness of the Spirit. Have you given the very most intimate, hidden, secret core of who you are in total abandonment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and said, cleanse me, fill me, sanctify my heart by faith, and make me your own? Stand together this morning. Bow your heads with me all across the room. I get it, Dr. John, you say. I see it. That's what I need. If you say, I get it, Dr. John, I see it, that's what I need, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed all across the room, I want you to look me in the eye right now and say, Dr. John, that's what I need in my heart right now. Everybody else's heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to start over here on the piano side, my left, your right, and I'm going to look across. Just look me in the eye if you're saying, that's what I need. Amen. Amen. People looking at me. I'm in the middle now. Amen. Yes, that's what I need. I need to be abandoned to Jesus Christ and let Him mark me. At the core of who I am, I'm here still in the center section. Yes, yes. I'm to the right now, on Oregon's side. Your left, my right. Anybody, just look me in the eye and say, that's what I need. Yes. Yes. Lord Jesus, settle down on us in this sacred moment. Lunch is about ready, but there's some people who really need to ask Jesus to sanctify their hearts this morning by faith. And as we wait in this quiet moment, I'm going to invite those who looked at me and said, I want Jesus to sanctify my heart by faith. Just come right up here to the altar. Come right now as we're just waiting. Just come right on. Quickly, quickly. Let's mind God. That's it. That's it. Let's just mind the Lord. Come on up. Kneel right here. Kneel right in here in the altar. Be careful with the cords. There you go. Amen. There are a few more? Come on. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Love you, buddy. Amen. Amen. God's meeting with us. He's doing good things. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, I need all the pastors up here. We're going to help some people pray through and get sanctified this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to help some folks get sanctified by faith this morning through the seal of the Spirit, the circumcision of the heart, the mark of God upon him for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to have a time of prayer here. And I'm going to pray the lunch prayer and dismiss you all who aren't here up at the front. And I'm going to let you go down to lunch, and we're going to pray up here, and we'll get in the back of the line. And you're going to hear some fresh, brand new stories this afternoon. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing right now. I thank you, Lord, for those who are coming to you and saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to cleanse my heart by faith. I want you to sanctify my heart. I want to be circumcised in my heart. I want to be sealed with the Spirit. I want the mark of Jesus' name upon me. I want you to touch the tenderest, most intimate part of who I am and make me authentically and completely abandoned to the cross of Christ and filled with the Spirit. And I make myself available for that right now in full surrender to Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords of my life. Bless in this time of prayer around the altar. Bless those who are going to go to lunch now. Bless the lunch to our bodies and strengthen us to be your servants, we pray, in Jesus' name, and thank you. Amen. If you're going to lunch, just slip out very quietly.